Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here, as always, for some fun Disney talk. And of course, it is Wednesday, so that means it is time for your listener questions. Scotty G joins me today, and we tackle questions such as if it's possible to get from Animal Kingdom over to the Magic Kingdom in 1 hour to catch Enchantment at the end of the day. We think it is possible, but it's going to take some hustle. Also, some dining options for picky eaters, but those who also like character meals and buffets. We also talk about some resort stays, Run Disney questions, this and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure. Of course, get you the best price possible and make that trip magical. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you shop this busy holiday season. It's one extra click, and it really does help support the show. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, thank you to our patrons who allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. We couldn't do this show without you. And if you'd like to get that bonus show each and every week called Mike in the Midwest, just join us at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2004 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. And if we sound a little bit different today, we are coming to you from a new podcast computer. Yes, the old computer that served us for probably about 1,500 episodes. Decided to give up the ghost here today as we're recording the show at a very inopportune time, about 2 minutes before I was getting ready to record one of the episodes, and we were lost internet access here in the house for about 24 hours, so we were delayed. We couldn't record on Monday. It has been a comedy of errors, but we're here, and Scott, who is joining me today, your friend and mine, hashtag Scotty G up in Michigan, he knows how to amp up the pressure, so let me get him introduced. Scotty, what's going on? Hope you're having a great week.
Having a great week so far, Mike, and I'm just going to share from a personal conversation we had today, because you were texting me in all this panic, and I just sent you a small little one sentence. I said, Cal Ripken is watching you.
It couldn't have been worse, because I am seriously about the streaks, right? I mean, with my Apple Watch, and I've kind of given that up. I took a 2-week break from running. I had some issues going on, and I finally came to mental peace with that after about 10 days. I finally, stopped freaking out about that. But the podcast streak and everything, always having a show out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I got to do that. That's just my thing. And then you texted that. I'm like, oh, my heart was like already pounding. And it was like, just out of my chest. Like, you physically see it in my shirt. And so immediately I'm driving 85 miles an hour down I-64 to Micro Center. I'm just like running in there frantic. I'm just looking at all the desktops. I need one that looks like the one I have, because that way at least I can come home and just like start plugging things back into the same slots where everything was in the old one. Got the same brand. It looks almost the same. My dad, fortunately, he's home from Green Bay, because, he does the Rams, but he's home. He came over on the fly, troubleshooted a couple of things, and we're here. So hopefully this goes out. We'll see. I don't know, but if it sounds a little bit different, we're here. We're trying.
Now you're going to question the recording on Mondays now. I mean, it's good you record on Monday so Tuesday could be your buffer.
That's exactly why we do that.
You almost needed two buffers.
Gosh. Yeah, and thanks, Spectrum. We lost internet for 24 hours, and that was a nightmare trying to get all that done. But we're here, and we appreciate you being here. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're jumping in with some listener questions, so let's get to the inbox. Amy has a question. She says, hey, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Scott, love the show. I haven't been to Walt Disney World since summer of, she says, 2019. So that would be way in the future. I'm sure it's 2019. And I have a trip planned for Marathon Weekend to run my first Run Disney race, Go Lizards. That's awesome. I have two questions. If I buy Genie Plus on a day that I'm park hopping from Hollywood Studios to Epcot or to Magic Kingdom, can I use Genie Plus on both parks for the single daily fee? Scotty, give the good news.
Yes, you certainly can. And I've done this. Yep. So definitely, I think we talked about Genie Plus a lot on here, or Pam and Ricky have too, but just, I like to start early in the day. Start early with the Genie Plus. You get more value out of it. But yeah, you certainly can park hop with the Genie Plus.
All right. And she says, and my husband is coming with me. He is not running, but would like to spectate. The info on spectators on Run Disney is vague. Yes, it is. Because it is hard to spectate, actually. I thought that I heard he needed to purchase some sort of pass to watch at the finish line, but he could watch for free along the route. Is this correct? When do they publish the maps/race course? I'm running the 10K. Any recommendations as to good spectator locations? We're staying at Grand Astino. Thanks so much, Amy. All right, so your family, great spectators. They're there almost every year. Your right. wife and Emily spectate. Pam Forrester spectates. Ricky's out there all the time. Give some thoughts on spectating, especially specifically 10K. It sounds like that's what she's running.
So I will say, like, Walt Disney World, like, they discourage spectating reason. Yeah, it's really frustrating.
They give you a few spots, and you don't have to pay. Let's just say that. You don't have to pay.
You don't have to pay. Mike, you're probably going to get the same answer as me. I'm thinking about, traditionally speaking, we don't know what the race course is. That was another question you had. And it's usually about 3 weeks-ish before the race, I would say, when we start getting more details on the course. But I'm going to make the assumption that the course is going to be exactly the same as it has been for the last several years.
Agreed.
And I think the Boardwalk Resort is a great place to spectate. The question is, the hard part will be the logistics getting there. If you're at the Grand Astino, how are you going to get to the Boardwalk? An Uber could be a possibility. Because with the way that 10K is, it's so early in the morning. Like, I don't even think getting like a breakfast reservation will work there either. So I think for parking, I don't know if you have your own car or not, but I think taking an Uber to the Boardwalk would be a really great place to spectate. What do you think, Mike?
No, that's exactly the place to go. You're going to have the most space to kind of spread out over on the Boardwalk. It's a great place. The runners have a chance to high five you there. Be careful, Scott. Is that you that was high-fiving somebody?
I was out there spectating. I was told by a group that I was the greatest Run Disney spectator they've ever seen in their life, but I almost wiped someone out in the process.
The Boardwalk gets slick when it rains, so be careful giving out high-fives if it is slick on the Boardwalk, because you can bite it. But yeah, that's a great place to watch. You can also make your way over to the finish line, but that's going to require a little bit more work, and the best way to do that, I mean, this sounds terrible, but what you're going to have to do basically is hop the bus that the runners take over to the start line and just kind of hang out. And just because it's going to be about an hour after the start that the fast runners will start coming in about 45, 50 minutes after the start. So you can kind of watch the really quick people come in. That's kind of exciting. But then your loved one will come in, you know, after that. And you can get a seat in the bleachers. You don't have to pay for that. They do sell cheer packages, but they're not required. You get some little goodies and stuff like that, but you don't need them.
Our great friend Shelly did that, Wade's wife, for the Wine and Dine half. She was on that first morning bus. She had a great hat on that said "Running sucks." I thought that was awesome. And
yes, it does.
She tucked it out, man. She was there from the beginning, and that means so much to us runners. You know, like when you see a loved one on the course or a friend, like that means a lot. And I wish Disney allowed more of it, but I get why they can't. You know, it's tough. Logistically to have those spots for spectators, but it's awesome when you see a spectator on the course.
There's nothing better. I'll be honest. I know it's really hard at Walt Disney World. Logistically, it's tough because you got to keep everybody safe, and it's hard to keep random spectators safe. That was the greatest thing about Chicago Marathon. It's the best race I ever ran. I've run all the Disney races, and Chicago was the best just because of the spectators. I mean, there was nothing real magical about it, just people. It was just like people encouraging you for 26 solid miles. It was like running down Main Street. But for 26, it was crazy. Okay, Jeff's got a question. So we'll see you down there. Can't wait to run that 10K with
you. Yes.
I'm so sore right now because I haven't run in 2 weeks, and I've run 2 days in a row now on the treadmill. Oh, man, I am telling you, two weeks.
I'm scared, man.
I'm so sore.
I mean, I was scared before Wine and Dine, and I did that just fine. But, like, 26 is a whole nother beast, and I haven't ran since then. So it's been, like, 3 weeks since I've ran. I should – tomorrow's December 1st. When this episode drops December 1st, that's when I'm going to start running.
Pain. Yeah, we'll get there, but pain and panic. Yeah. They're not only on the Disney dream. They're in my head, too. Okay, Jeff's got a question. He says, we check out to fly home after the marathon late, after the race. I know we won't have our room still. Oh, look at that. It's scrolling now. But
I know. That's a new
how's
feature.
That? That must be new. But why would you like... I didn't read fast enough, though, because I got excited that it's scrolling. I know we won't have our room still, but we would like to shower. Do the pools or the gym at the Contemporary Bay Lake have showers, and are they open currently for post-race use? Actually, we were just there at that area for the 50th. So talk about that.
I can't say with 100% certainty, Jeff, but I'm basically positive that there are showers at there, and they're open too. So yeah, there's a great restroom over by the snack bar area at the Contemporary. This is in Bay Lake at the Contemporary pool, where you can definitely take a shower. I will say though, like I recently hung out at the Wilderness Lodge pool, the DVC pool, and they have like the best shower ever. Like where they have like the actual like Disney H2O products in there. You lock the door. It's all private. Like that was actually one of the best showers I had Wine and Dine weekend was at the pool. But Contemporary will have a similar setup as well. So I would say you are good to go. And if you're in a pinch, man, if you're really that desperate, you can just come over to our come over to Riverside if you really need a shower that bad.
There's lots of lizards, and you can probably find 5 minutes worth of
shower.
We don't
want you flying home stinky, man.
But it can be done, and I've done it after a full marathon. I'm just saying, my first time, man, I had to get home to teach on Monday, and I rode that Southwest jet back with stinky.
Not to scare Jeff, I'm going to be very curious how that flight home is going to be after after running dopey. That's why I always fly home on Monday.
Yeah, I'm doing that too. I did it once. And I'm just telling you, man, I can barely get out of this chair right now. I'm just telling you, I am not in the shape I was, so I got to be careful. I hope to be back in it. I got to get that groove going. Okay, anyway, Anthony's got a question. I like this one. Would you be cool with Disney bringing back a nighttime parade if it meant fireworks on only select nights? So you'd have to give a little trade, a little give and take there. Scott, what are your thoughts on that? Maybe bring it back maybe paint the night. I thought was coming, man. There were rumors. Like, it was hot and heavy about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it's happening.
I get nervous about rumors sometimes, you know, because you get excited at the prospect of it. It brings for good conversation. That's really what a rumor does, right? It just brings good conversation. But, Anthony, I'm all for it. But this is a guy that comes, you know, visits 5 times a year. I would be okay with a night without fireworks to see a nighttime parade because I love the atmosphere. Now, obviously, the dual threat of both that makes it for the most magical night. But I would be all for that. Yeah, if they wanted to, do every other day or do like, 4 nights a week with fireworks and, 3 nights with a parade, heck yeah, sign me up for that.
I agree, because the thing is, what I would want them to do with the schedule, though, is to give everybody, because people, I would say, tend to stay 4 to 5 nights. So I would make sure in that 4 to 5 nights that you have the opportunity to at least make it so that you can get to the Magic Kingdom and see that show and maybe see the Magic Kingdom nighttime parade once every 4 nights. So, you get to see once of each and then, because you're not going to get to see
don't
it.
Don't do
all
like 4 nights of fireworks and 3 nights of parades.
Right. Try kind of alternate it
as close as possible.
Right. Because the thing is, it could get really kind of iffy this time of year. Well, this is kind of a different season though with after hours, but in normal seasons where you have like the, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, which kind of cuts things at 7. I know now it's at 9. It's weird times, but yeah, I would do that because here's the thing. I mean, when I think about a nighttime parade, I get excited because I really love Spectrum Magic and I really did like Main Street Electrical Parade just almost as much, but the crowds are so intense right now, were the crowds not like that when I'm recalling this, like in the mid 2000s when Spectrum Magic happened? I mean, I don't think like the Magic Kingdom was empty. I mean, the crowd's that much more intense that we can't have a parade. That's what they keep saying. Like it's where would you put a parade? But how do we do it back then?
I think about this too, from a business standpoint too, like that'd be a cost savings. I feel, I always think like, I would love to know the budget on fireworks.
They gotta be expensive. Yeah.
And I think I'd rather pay a bunch of cast members and performers to do the parade and then blow up a bunch of the stuff, but I love the fireworks too. So it's a tough situation to be in, but I think that's an interesting question. I really love that question. And I think most people in this chat or our listeners would love to see both. I wonder what the average guest would be. They probably could care less about a parade maybe. And that's why, it's fireworks all the time. But yeah, that's an interesting question. I like it.
All right, Trisha has a great question for us, and she's telling me that I need to eat at Moose Jaw when we go up to the Dells here in a couple of weekends for a cheerleading competition. My first time ever in the state of Wisconsin. Never been in that state. A place called Moose Jaw. Got to make it happen, man. That sounds awesome. I don't know what it's about, but I'm going to Moose Jaw. I'm going to make it happen. So thanks, Trisha. And also, she does trivia on our Discord server, which if you've never gone to the Discord server, we were hot and heavy on that about 6 months ago. It's kind of died down. Just go to brguestpodcast.com. Right there's a link. You can jump in there, and she gives like trivia all the time, and it's got like a spoiler thing where you can put an answer, but you can't see it unless you seek it out to click on it. It's really cool. So thanks, Trisha, for doing that. She says, can you close down Animal Kingdom at 7 p.m. and still make it for an 8 p.m. enchantment showing at the Magic Kingdom? I say, never say you can't. You can't. I always told my sixth graders, you can do anything you put your mind to. I don't know if you could do this, though. I know you probably could. Well, it depends.
Yeah, Jen is what, like a 15-minute show, so you might see the last blast.
You might see Tinkerbell. I don't know.
Yeah. I would say it depends on how you plan to get to the Magic Kingdom. Because can you take a bus? You can do a park-to-park bus, right?
You can. I believe they're back. Okay. I think.
Because, I mean, if you have a car... you're gonna have to park in the TTC, and that is a process on its own, as we all know, to get to Magic Kingdom. So your best bet is like having a direct bus. So I guess it depends on A, are they doing the park to park buses, and will that bus be right there at 7 o'clock when you leave Animal Kingdom? That's gonna be a tough one. I would love to see you try and hear the results of that, because I love that idea. I think that's great.
The only way I would do this, okay, it can be done, but it's going to be super tight. Like, you're talking on a good, if you really hit everything right, you're probably walking into the Magic Kingdom at maybe 10 till probably best case scenario, because of the logistics of, I mean, because what if your bus, like sometimes that bus takes 15 minutes to hit your corral, and it takes, if you're walking out of the Animal Kingdom at 7, it's going to be 10, 15 minutes before you even get back to the bus stops at Animal Kingdom. They're quite a ways out. Probably a 15-minute bus ride from the Animal Kingdom to the Magic Kingdom. Probably 10 minutes to walk in through security. Yeah. It can be done. Here's the one thing I would say, though. Don't make this your only viewing of Enchantment. This would be like a bonus viewing. Like, if you miss the first 5 minutes, but you get to see 10 minutes of it, you know, or 8 minutes of it, and you're cool with that, go for it. But I wouldn't do this if this is, like, the only chance you get to see it.
I love that answer in the chat, Mike.
What's that?
So, bus to a monorail resort. So, keep your eye on the buses. I know you do this when you're staying at Pop. Like, you'll look for Art of Animation and Pop buses. Like, find which bus comes first. Like, if the Contemporary bus, like, keep your eye on it. If you see a Contemporary bus, take that one so that you can walk to the Magic Kingdom. Or if there's a Polynesian or a Grand Floridian one, take that one. And then, boom, you can use the monorail or boat or whatever. Like, I kind of like that idea. Like, that gives you more options for waiting in line for a bus.
It totally does. That's a great call. You know, that's using the Disney transportation system. Like, that's a hack. And that's exactly what we're looking at. That's what this podcast is about. I love it. And thanks to Dan for that hack. It is doable. Yeah, it is doable. But I still wouldn't do it if that was your only chance to see it. I would do that as like a bonus, because it just makes me nervous. Too many variables. All right, Trisha's got another question, though. She says, best way to see Candlelight Processional without a dinner package, how long to wait to try and get into the show? Well, of course, you can queue up, but there was something new that was announced this week, that there are a few locations where you can get dining packages now at quick service locations, I think, or bonus locations. I think I saw that Spice Road Table now has a day of Candlelight Processional dining packages, and there was another restaurant. I should have had that pulled up. But just maybe research that and Google it, because there are some more options day of, I guess, for additional seating for Candlelight Processional. That might be a way to go. And you can also, people don't remember this, you can do breakfast and lunch as a meal and still have the dining package for later in the day. So you don't have to just do dinner. It's a bonus there.
Nice. But
and here's the thing. I've seen Candlelight Processional probably 3 or 4 times. I love Candlelight Processional. I think it, you know, I'm a Christian, and that's like, you know, we go to service on Christmas Eve, and we do the candles at church, and they read the story of baby Jesus and all, everything. I love that. And so the Candlelight Processional is that story with the beautiful music. I've never sat in a seat because I've never waited in line. I'd never have the attention span. But what I've done is I've stood way in the back of America Gardens Theater, almost like back by the sign, you know, like where the American like adventure sign is. And I just listen to the music and I hear the narration, and it's awesome. It moves me. I would love to see it up front, but I've just never taken the time. I'm always like, but it's powerful no matter where you see it or listen to it. So do what you got to do. All right. And Anthony kind of gives a little feedback. He says for his plan, maybe do the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe a nighttime parade on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That'd work. I'd give everybody a shot.
I love that plan.
I do too. All right. Chad's got a question. Why do we not see wait times for Remy on the My Disney Experience app? My wife and I have a dining reservation at Ohana at 3:50 p.m. Is it reasonable to expect to be at Animal Kingdom 5 to 7 p.m. if we take an Uber? We want to see Avatar land at night, so Pandora at night. Short window for that day. Thanks for booking our trip for December 13 to 15. Thank you, Chad. I appreciate it. All right. So first of all, why do we think we don't see? Is it because it's, I guess it's because the virtual queue thing.
The virtual queue is why. Yeah.
But why wouldn't they? Well, I guess
because it's, it's based on boarding groups.
Yeah, that's so right. It's like boarding groups instead of waiting time. Yeah, because there's a wait 30. Time. Yeah, if there's a wait time, people jump, want to go get in line. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so give him the thoughts. Ohana 350. Say you get to sit down at 350. Tough, man, that is tough.
Every time I've been to Ohana, it's been like the longest meal ever.
Right.
Well, I don't know why that is.
Same for me. Like, it always takes forever for me. But here's the thing I always hear from people. And I'm the opposite. I'm just like you. It's a long meal. I always hear a lot of people say they feel rushed. Like, they're trying to get you in and out so they can flip the tables. When I'm there, I feel like I'm there a long time. It doesn't happen to me.
I've only done dinner like twice, but I've done breakfast so many times there. And even recently, I've done breakfast. I did it over Wine and Dine. It is always a long meal. I remember we were there for Father's Day one year, Mike. We had like a 2-hour breakfast.
Yeah, oh my God. They were like, we're the only ones there at the end. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I remember Paige was getting kind of frustrated. So I think of Ohana 350 out here, man, that's going to be an hour and a half meal. So I would say you get to Animal Kingdom like around 6, you know, so you can still do Flight of Passage if that's your goal. But I would expect to be arriving well after 5 o'clock.
Well, too, and if you just want to see Pandora at night, the good news is the Pandora's at the front of Animal Kingdom. So as soon as you go in the park, you're almost in Pandora pretty quickly, 10 minutes. It's not a big land. You can see all of the bioluminescence and all that at night pretty quickly. Even if you get there at 6, you could hop in line for Flight of Passage, and on your way out, they're not going to chase you out real quick. You can kind of see the land on the way out. I think even if you get there at 6, you're going to be fine. I would totally go for it. Yeah. Totally. Especially by Uber, because you have more control. All right, Bob's got a question. Any rumblings on when, spring 2023 reservations might open? Back to late June again? Thanks. That'd be my guess. Usually the next year opens up in the spring of the next year. So 2023 should probably open up in spring of 2022. If
23, man, it's crazy to hear that number.
I know, seriously. We're almost in 2022. We're a month away.
That'll be the year I turn 40.
Oh, man, you're getting there. Catch me. I'm close to 50. That's crazy. I can't believe that.
Yeah, you're 10 years. You got 10 years out of it.
All right. So let's get to the next question from the inbox. It's from Jenny. Hey, Mike, I've not heard this question asked on the podcast. I'm a lizard. I'm going down for marathon weekend. Now, if you don't know the show, take that out of context, it sounds weird. But we all know what you mean. I'm bringing with me my oldest kid, 18, who has sensory issues that manifest itself in food. We have always done the dining plan with our two trips, but without it this year, I'm struggling where to eat. We love our buffets and character meals, but the price is a little much off the dining plan. Can anyone suggest good places to eat? I'm gluten-free, and my kid is a chicken nugget and fries type of gal. We're staying at Art of Animation that has great chicken strips we can both eat, and Pinocchio Village House in the Magic Kingdom works well for us. But what about Epcot and Hollywood Studios? I've eaten at ABC and Hollywood Studios, but the food is not great. Any other places you can suggest? Bonus question, I'm pretty sure the answer is yes, but can an adult order off the kids' menu at a sit-down and quick-service place? Thanks in advance, and happy training, Jenny. Jenny, I need that happy training. I'm telling you, my left leg needs a lot of heavy. My right leg's doing great. I don't know what's going on. It's just my left leg that doesn't want to get with the program. I take 2 weeks off and my left leg's like, nope, still on vacation. I might just run in circles, like super small circles because of that. Anyway, so let's kind of break this down. Looking for some food. We're looking for food places here. So they love buffets, character meals, which again, these are kind of limited right now, but they're coming back. We have options. Right.
We've done some buffets to be like family style. Like I'm thinking of Cape May Cave breakfast, for instance. It's normally a character meal. They're doing it like family style now with the prices like heavily reduced compared to what it was. So I think that's a really good option. I know we weren't talking about resorts, but that was just one that came to mind.
Also, I would throw in, cause this is one that you can get usually, and it's a good one that's hidden, is Tusker House. Good variety of food. This one can get a little loud, and I know that you say that your child has little sensory issues, so maybe you'd have to judge this one on your own, but it is kind of tucked away in the back of Animal Kingdom And it's a large restaurant, and I don't know if it's, you know, how busy it would be if you, depending on the time of day that you book the restaurant, the reservation, but it's got good food and there are kind of basic items on there. But if you are gluten free, I'm sure that there's a lot of accommodations up there on that buffet with that too. That's kind of one of those that I think people forget about. It's just kind of a solid restaurant. It's not bad.
No, I like it a lot.
So I'm trying to think what else. Epcot. What about some places at Epcot that might work? They like Pinocchio's Village House at Magic Kingdom. I already talked to her through email. She really likes Landscape of Flavors over at Art of Animation for a good, you know, options in her food court there at the resort. I'm trying to think at Epcot. I mean, Sunshine Seasons, I don't think it's as good as it used to be, but I think it's pretty solid. You got a lot of options there for
right.
somebody.
A lot of options. It kind of reminds me of like a Art of Animation type food court, and to some extent. But you're right. I think it's a little different than it used to be. Not as good, in my opinion, but. But it's been actually a little bit. I don't think I've been there since the pandemic, to be honest. So I can't really speak to it fully. Yeah, Epcot's tricky. Like, I would love to say state of the old. What was the old Future World restaurant that they're gonna redoing it now?
Oh, the Electric Umbrella is now.
That would have been perfect. I feel like.
Almost. I know, totally. Well, yeah, it's good. I'm glad it's coming back, and it's got kind of a regular. It doesn't have a real exciting name. It's I liked Electric Umbrella better than the new name. I forgot what it is. I'm not on my game. Today's been a day. I'm totally like, just I'm glad that we're here, being able to talk and get the podcast out. I can't remember the name.
But if you're at Epcot, like sometimes like it might be a little more work. Sometimes I know, but like I love going to like some of the boardwalk area resorts to get like something. Like man, if you can get like a Beaches and Cream, even though I'm thinking now, I'm thinking about the sensory issues though. Like that place is super loud.
It's way louder than it used to be. Now they remodeled it. It's just the floors are hard and it's just really loud.
Right.
Unless maybe you could eat outside because they have tables. Do they let you eat outside on the tables?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, they will. That'd work. Well, they did a little bit during the pandemic. It's been a little bit since I've been there, but yeah.
I'm trying to think where else.
I know she said ABC Commissary wasn't her favorite, but I don't know how long it's been because like I really enjoyed it the last few times I've been.
Same. It's my favorite counter service now, and it used to be like I never went there. I mean, I hadn't gone there in 10 years, and now like when I go to the studios, I'm like, oh, I'm going to ABC Commissary. That's my jam. Yeah, it's got good food.
Yeah, I really like that. And there's tables outside there, too, that you can sit.
That's right. Oh, and also, Nicole, actually, at the Magic Kingdom right now as we speak, she says crowd's great, weather's great, she's having a good time. She also says they went to Skipper Canteen, actually tonight as we're recording, for the first time. She says it was wonderful, and they had good gluten-free options there. So Skipper Canteen.
There we go.
Shout out. Gotta like that. And can adults order off the kids' menu? Yes, for the most part. Now, kids, obviously at buffets, you can't because there's kids pricing and adult pricing. Quick service places, it's no problem. Now, there are a few, like, there are some, like, places where there are exceptions. I know Space 220, there's no, like, adults can't order kids' meals. There's, like, real big rules on that and stuff like that. But for the most part, yeah, the servers will let you order kids' stuff. I think so. I've never tried it because I always want a lot of food.
Me too.
I've never really done it. Okay.
But my 14-year-old, who is technically a Disney adult, when she turned 10, still orders some kids' meals every now and then too.
Yeah,
and she looks like an adult. She looks like an adult. So
no, seriously, our kids are getting way too grown up looking all of a sudden. All right. This next question is from Karen, not a Karen, in College Station, Texas. She says, "Hey, Mike." And it's about stacking Lightning Lane passes. And you've used this, so I don't know. Again, I haven't used Genie Plus yet because I was in and out so quick over Wine and Dine. She says, so I thought people could hold one Genie Plus Lightning Lane pass at a time. However, I don't think that's the case, as I've heard of ways people are getting multiple passes at one time, a.k.a. stacking. What are you hearing, if anything, about this? Now, I know that, this was kind of a thing initially right when Genie Plus came out, and I will tell you this email is about a month old. This one's a little bit older, but I didn't want to skip it. Disney's kind of tightening up things and closing loopholes. So I will say that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, I think they tightened up a lot, actually. I think the stacking would have been, like you could have, like right when you bought your Genie Plus for the day at whatever time it is, 6 or 7 o'clock, you can boom. Book like the first time available at a park, and then 2 hours later you can get another one. So right then you'd have two lightning lanes that you could stack. I wasn't able to really do that. I think I was there during a very busy time though, during a race weekend, so it was really hard to like find that availability. But I think there were some loopholes, but I think Disney has really tightened that down to make it a little more fair for everyone.
All righty, Zach's got a question. Hey, Mike, Pam, Ricky, and Scott, it was great to see you all at the 50th anniversary weekend. My wife and I are traveling to Disneyland in April, and I was wondering what is one restaurant we need to make sure we visit. As always, love the podcast, Zach. One restaurant, ooh. Disneyland, April. What's he got? Where's he got to go?
So, Disneyland and me, I love like table service normally, but like their counter service is so good at Disneyland too. And I think I've said that a lot on the show. I really like the place where you can get like the soup bowls in like New Orleans Square. Like I think those are so great. I see Alfred is saying Blue Bayou. That's kind of a Disneyland must do for sure. It's in New Orleans Square as well. It's where Pirates of the Caribbean is. That's a great one. I love the character meal at the, because I like seeing the resorts too. I know there's only three actual Disneyland resorts, but I love the Grand Californian, and I love their buffet they do there. And I cannot think of the restaurant right now. Oh my God, it's really bugging me. But they usually have like the critter characters out. It's such a cute place, and I would recommend that one too. They have some unique buffet offerings, typically speaking, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think we're talking about going to Disneyland this summer.
I'm talking about going to Disneyland this summer too.
Oh, if you are, we got to make it happen. Then if you're thinking about going, we're gonna do it then. Okay, so yeah, we're gonna have to make it happen. We'll have to do a Disneyland meetup.
We were going every year from like since 2015, and we're supposed to go in 2020, and that didn't happen. Storyteller's Cafe, that's the one. Thank you, Alfred. I think it's a unique place. But yeah, so I definitely need to go to Disneyland. You're gonna have a great time in April, and like there's so many great food options from like the, especially the counter service. I'm thinking about the place where the Dorito was invented, like the Ranchero place. Like if you like Mexican food, that's one of the best Mexican food I've had.
Every time,
it's a counter service.
Yeah, every time they talk about that on 3028, I'm like, gotta be there. Rancho del Zocalo or whatever that is, you know, all that stuff just sounds cool. Like I just,
And then I will say like, I know you said Disneyland. I wasn't sure you were saying like the whole resort if you're just thinking Disneyland Park, but like I love Flo's Cafe in Cars Land over at DCA. That is a great spot. Sit outside. You're looking over Radiator Springs. That's one of the coolest spots I think you can be at. And there's some great options at DCA too for common service. Not so much table service for me. Carthay Circle is a nice signature spot, but like I love the outdoor seating and the counter service at DCA.
God, I'm excited.
I gave 15 options. I know.
That's good. You got me pumped up, man. I gotta get a cone. Like I want to get a handwich. You know.
Oh
yeah. That's what I'm pumped up. That is one of the things that has me super pumped because again, we live kind of by Route 66. Like Interstate 44 is Route 66, and it's very near where I've grown up and where I live. And I would just like, I've seen pictures at night of Cars Land. And like, that's my vibe, man. I would love to see that. I would just love to walk through that.
Especially around the holiday times. But yeah, Cars Land is one of the best. But then there's this great place, Mike, in DCA where they have like all these picnic tables set out. And it just makes me think of like being like at a food truck place or something where they have all these tables and there's like six different stands you can go to. You can get like your Mexican stand or your burgers and fries stand. Like it is so good. It feels like you're like at a mall food court or some sort, but like it's all outside. It's so great. There's a great like beer, like IPA tent that I love to go to. Like, all right, I think I'm gonna book a trip.
I think I am too. I think we're gonna have
like,
to.
I love it so much.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing a BOGP West Coast meetup this summer.
There we go. I miss it so much. Yes. Oh, you know I'm in.
I would just be so excited. Okay, next question is from Mark, and he says, "What would you bring back and more?" He says, "Good morning, Mike. Just listening to the 50th anniversary podcast. Loved it. Thank you. The ride I would bring back would be Horizons. I loved Epcot and remember the ride very well. Still watch the walkthrough on YouTube. Will they ever, do you think, bring back that style of a ride? With all the new IPs, I'm not so sure. And the other question for the three of you, actually the four of us, would be, what's your favorite item that you've ever bought in Walt Disney World? For example, teas, mugs, etc. Mine is an Epcot 82 number plate. It's not the most expensive, but I love it. I really want to bring that monorail set back to the UK. But put that and put that sucker under the Christmas tree. Take care, all. Enjoy the 50th without us, poor old UK guests. He says, regards, Mark, and he's in Portsmouth, UK. And welcome back. You guys can come back now, and that makes Walt Disney World all the better. Okay, so Let's get to his first question. I think it's an interesting question. Horizons. I mean, that is... Okay, 95% of the people at Walt Disney World don't even know Horizons existed. Like, your regular people that are just going down to ride rides, see Mickey Mouse. Horizons, what? But Diz Twitter in the Disney community, Horizons is, it was the ultimate. And I didn't ever get to ride it, but man, I wish I could have. I saw it. I mean, I wish I could have. Would they ever do that again? I mean, I say no, at least under the current regime. I don't know. Right now, no, for sure, I think.
I don't think they would. And it kind of bums me out, man.
I know.
But I think the answer is no. I think they're looking for today's guest, right, is looking for like some type of thrill, some type of something they can do quick. They're all about like the quantity, I think, now, right?
Like, an existing connection. Like, right, they don't want you to have to be introduced to something. Like, they want you to be like, oh wow, there's Rocket Raccoon, and so you want to ride that roller coaster because it's Guardians of the Galaxy. You already know it before you get there.
Yeah, and that's a bummer because some of our favorites, right, are not that, like Haunted Mansion, Pirates, Jungle Cruise,
Soarin'. Yeah,
yep. But I love the idea though, and who knows, it may happen someday. I always say they need to make that fifth gate just for the Diz Twitter folks, right?
Yes, amen.
Be like retro attractions.
Yes, I agree. It's yeah. I mean, the thing is, if they brought back an attraction, like, here's the thing. I think that it would take, you know, I'm an Apple fan, right? And I follow technology and all that stuff. And when they took out the headphone jack from the iPhone, there was so much hatred that they took away the headphone jack because it was stupid what Apple said. They said it took courage to take away the headphone jack. That was their line. It was courage. No, they were trying to save money is what they were doing. I'm sure that's what it was. It wasn't really courage. They're probably trying to sell a lot of AirPods. Let's get honest. You know, wireless AirPods. I get it. You know, they're a business. Courage. That's funny. But here's the thing. I think if they really made a really good ride like Horizons, it would succeed. I think people would love it. Look at Everest. That's the last time they made a really good ride that wasn't IP-based, and that's a great ride. I mean, is it as marketable as Frozen Ever After? Probably not, but it's a better ride, and I think people would embrace it. I think it would take her. It's a lot easier to say, let's build a ride based on, you know, a $1 billion property like Star Wars or Guardians of the Galaxy or some Marvel, you know, some other Marvel movie or what have you. It's a lot more taking a risk to say, let's build this, let's invest all this money on kind of a wild card, you know, some story that may or may not work, but I think it would.
It's the attention span too, I think, is part of the problem. They want quick rides. And I would love an attraction. Like, I think about Energy, Ellen's Energy, man. Like, I loved being on that. Like, it was a 30-minute attraction. It was awesome.
It was.
Like, but I love how, like, near the end there, they would always announce that. This is your 17th warning that this attraction is 3 minutes long. If you want to leave, do it now.
Yeah, if you have to go to the bathroom, if you're any kind of hungry, do not get on this ride.
I would love to see that type of attraction return. And you don't, not every single one needs to be like that. But if each park had, like, a nice, like, epic, like, 15-minute attraction or something, like, that's original to that park, like, oh, my God, it'd be so good.
But you know what? You know, what's funny too, is like my daughter, Mallory, your daughter, Emily, 14, you know, 14, 13, they love things like Carousel of Progress. So you can't say that the younger generation would not embrace these kind of attractions because they do. Like
they do.
I think it's a cop-out to say, oh, the younger kids have to have stuff where their hair's on fire and it only lasts 2 minutes. That's a cop-out, I think.
I think so too.
There's a lot of kids that like those kind of attractions. But, I mean, again, it's easy. I think it's an easy way to just, it's safe, right? Like, some Star Wars is going to succeed. There's a ton of Star Wars fans. I mean, just whatever. Okay, last thing Mark was asking. What's probably your favorite item that you brought home from Walt Disney World, if you had to pick something?
Oh, my gosh, man. That is so tough. I've brought home so much stuff.
Yeah, you bring home really cool art. That's one of the things that's different about you that I appreciate. You bring home some sweet art.
Just brought back some more art. I'll send you a photo. You remember the 50th poster we got?
Mm-hmm. It's right here.
Elizabeth bought a nice frame for it this last weekend. And man, it looks sharp in the frame. But yeah, I love the art. I love to have the art. But outside of the art, just something that I had like an emotional connection to is actually this year I got, because we played golf. And it was fun golfing with the guys. And my mother, who passed away in 2020, was a big Tigger fan. And they had a out of print. It was a mistake that Disney made because Tigger is not like tied to golf for Disney golf, but they accidentally made all these Tigger head covers. There was a rare, like 150 they ever made. So I bought three of those, one for me, one for my dad, one for my brother. So when I'm out in the golf course, which is a hobby of mine, I got Tigger there looking at me, which is always a little fun, little memory there.
And I love that you got that, because I know your mom was a huge Tigger fan, and that's perfect for you, because you really are a passionate golfer. And yeah, when I saw that.
And takes me back to that day, though, with you feeling that, was fun. That was a fun time.
That was a great day, man. That was just a great, God.
Got to get that annual BOGP golf event going.
Oh, yeah. On. Yeah. You stirred it back up. We're going to have to get the golf. Yeah, we are. Yeah. And I would say my thing, probably, I love the monorail that I brought home that goes under the tree every year, but also, probably my favorite thing, and again, I didn't buy it. It's those ears at the end of the marathon. The first year, because the first year we had no idea they were coming. Like, you just got to the end, you're expecting to get your medal, which was awesome, you know, which was great. But like, the ears were something tangible that you could wear. Like, I was like, yes, and they were cool.
Awesome.
I
know they're the 25th anniversary one.
Yeah, and they were. I know they were. You said it. They were leftovers from Disneyland, probably, because they're the same.
Were.
I don't care, because they were cool. I loved them. The silver ears, they were awesome.
But now it's opened them up. Now they're like, oh man, because like. The 1 year I skipped because I was just undertrained. I was going to take that year off, but I still flew down, did the half, remember, like last minute. I believe that year they were red, and I was so mad I didn't do it, because like, the red ones would have been sweet.
Yeah, they were red, because I have three sets. Yeah, the royal blue with the silver ears, and the red ones with the black ears, and then we had the light blue ones with the this light blue ears. Yeah, I like that. I think that, yeah, I like the hat, you know, the ears. That's pretty neat. It's perfectly Disney. All right, well, hey. That's going to do it for the first podcast on computer number, who knows, 3 or 4 for the podcast here. But hopefully everything sounds well. Thanks for hanging with us today. Don't forget, if you want to get a question here in the inbox, and we need to reload that inbox so that the questions are not so old, send those questions to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put listener question in the title, and we'll get that here on the show probably next week. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. You know all the details. We'd just love to help you plan your next Disney adventure, whether it's a Disney cruise, heading out to Disneyland this summer. Sounds like we might have to do a meetup. Going to Walt Disney World, a lot of stuff to do down there. You know, got races, you got festivals, you got all the Genie Plus to check out if you haven't done that yet. Just tons of stuff to do. Of course, Adventures by Disney as well. Just swing by themagicforless.com, fill out that quote form while you're there. Mention the BOGP, and we'll take great care of you from there. Thanks so much for your support in advance. Check them out again over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link this holiday season. It really does help support us. Thanks to everybody who uses that. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for supporting the show. It means a lot. It helps us keep the show going. Trust me, you guys helped with the computer today. This is where those funds go. It helped us get this thing rolling and helped everything keep moving along. So thank you for that support. It's because of you. We keep the show going. You get a bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support us over there, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on social media. Scott is at EpScott, EpScott. Give him a follow on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at BeOurGuestMike, of course. Facebook and YouTube, subscribe to the show so you know when we go live. And we would absolutely love a 5-star review and a rating and all that stuff over on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Pocket Casts, wherever you grab your show. Those ratings and reviews really mean a lot to us. So if you could leave one of those, we'd sure appreciate that. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday. So until we get together again, for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.